Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
You couldn't pick two bigger things in the 90s to mash together, Mason, in a movie that, in hindsight, it's kind of terrible.
It's bad. I hated it. Space Jam.
Space Jam.
Here's the thing, though. No, I apologize. I didn't hate it. That would be too strong a term for what. I just, if anything, it baffled me
right.
that anybody could have any kind of strong reaction to this movie.
Well, but
now or then. But well, here's the thing. I know what you're going to say.
Leave a like. That I was going to say that. You're right. Yeah.
Thing. But in the 90s, if you loved Michael Jordan, because, and why wouldn't you? Because at the time he was sort of inarguably the best basketball player.
He was the Michael Jordan of being Michael.
Exactly.
Doing a basketball.
The whole time.
He was always like, slam dunk, everyone. Look at this. Look how many I'm doing.
His classic catchphrase, look how many I'm doing. But I mean, you love that. And that's, you love him and that's fine. He's not playing basketball in the movie, is he? He's just standing around in front of a green screen for 90 minutes.
He's playing a bit of basketball. He's shooting some hoops. He's like, look at this. Look how many I'm getting.
Sure.
Not as many in the first half.
And if you love the Looney Tunes,
yeah.
for some reason, whatever reason that happens to be.
What are you talking about?
They're not at their best either.
No.
Their best obviously being on like novelty silky boxer shorts.
Yes.
Which is where they were in the 90s. And is that just an Australian thing?
It might have been. And the back of mud flaps.
Oh my God, yeah.
Back off, pa-pow.
Pa-pow.
Look how many I got. Look how many I got. Two guns. For me, watching this,
I
remember everything about this movie.
Sure.
It's crazy. Like, I haven't watched this in 20 years, but I'm like, I didn't need to watch this. I just know everything about this movie.
Well, see, there's the difference because I've seen this once.
Yep.
Just earlier.
Yeah.
As an adult, so.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. What I didn't know, though...
I guess some of us never grew up.
In a way. But a few things about this. First of all, it spawned from a series of Nike commercials where Bugs Bunny and Michael Jordan played basketball against Marvin the Martian and some aliens and whatever. And people were like, oh my God, this is radical and whatever. Look how many he's getting and doing. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And also, in hindsight, looking back on this, it doesn't seem to capture the spirit of any of the Looney Tunes stuff.
Doesn't.
The good stuff very well.
Because the best of the Looney Tunes stuff was just really kind of chaotic.
Yep.
If you'd said to me a few hours ago, which do you like more? Like the Disney signature characters, the Warner Brothers signature characters.
Yeah.
I'd be like, Warner Brothers for sure. But now I don't know. I don't know anymore.
Wow.
But they feel so drained of life in this.
Yeah.
And I don't necessarily think it's a function of the new animation style of this movie where it's sort of like, you know, it's not the old Warner Brothers kind of very simple stuff.
No, I don't think that's what it is. Mm. Yeah. Well, actually, I was saving this for trivia. I've got a few things coming up in trivia that you're going to love, including a proposed sequel, not the one with LeBron James, a different one.
Huh.
But in an interview a couple of years after the film's release, longtime Looney Tunes director Chuck Jones, massive creator, was highly critical of the movie. Jones felt it strayed too far from the source material, in particular saying that Bugs would never openly recruit others in his battle. And he further maintained that the Bugs he worked on would have single-handedly dispatched with the aliens in short order, which is true. But then you don't get Michael Jordan. You know what I mean?
It's true, yeah.
That's not a movie, is it?
But I think he's right. The Looney Tunes are at their best when two or more of them meet in a desert or a forest or something and then proceed to attempt to murder each other.
That's very true.
But what is this?
Yeah.
What are you doing? Teamwork.
That being said, this was the highest grossing Looney Tunes film and probably still is. And it was and probably still is the biggest basketball movie of all time. It cost $80 million. It made $250 million. And it also... It came out at, like we mentioned, peak Michael Jordan, peak Looney Tunes. Well, kind of like a second resurgence off the back of Tiny Toons and Animaniacs and a bunch of other stuff that was going on, which is all better stuff than this, I should point out.
I mean, that's what I remember from the 90s. You know, Freakazoid, Tiny Toons.
And it also has some attention to detail in relation to Michael Jordan's real life, which I appreciate. For one, they matched his suit and tie for his retirement press conference, which they recreated. But at the same time...
Big and wide.
Big and wide, yeah. But then everything else kind of about him and his life is kind of vague and... And
the precise number of buttons on his suit jacket.
It's way off.
Seven buttons.
But I remember even as a kid seeing his house, and then it's just like on the street and there's no fence and people are going past and like waving at him. It would never happen. There'd be a million people outside of his house almost constantly. But yeah, so at the time it was interesting because if you've seen that recent Chicago Bulls documentary, which you might have watched on Netflix, it's great. It's really terrific. He was kind of... down on his luck, which they work into this. He'd quit basketball. His father, though they didn't say it in the movie, was murdered.
Wow.
But, you know, they just say he kind of passed away in this. He's playing baseball, but he's no good. He's got Wayne Knight as an assistant. Do you know what I mean? All of these things are working against him.
And well, those are things working for the movie. Wayne Knight is great in this. Bill Murray is good with the two or three lines he has.
Bill Murray is... an absolute highlight of this movie. Mm-hmm. He wasn't really supposed to be in it, but they're friends, and Michael Jordan was like, "Please, I'm going mad. I need someone to talk to other than a person in a green stocking."
And Bill Murray was like, "Okay, I'll be in it, but I have to be playing a version of myself that does not care whether you live or die, Michael Jordan."
What I liked about that, though, I think a couple of the jokes for me that did work. There's two that I noted, and I know
in this 90 minutes there were two jokes that worked. Yeah, okay, here we go. I'd love to hear about them.
Sylvester the Cat's idea to beat the Monstars just devolves into him capturing Tweety Bird. Like, that's his idea. And also Bill Murray's explanation for how he just turned up at the game. He's just like, "Yeah, the producer's a friend of mine and a teamster dropped me off." Like, and I remember as a kid, like, not getting that or kind of being confused as to why he was there or whatever.
Like, but now you're like, timeless.
Yeah, great joke.
Timeless behind the scenes, how the sausage is made, Hollywood joke.
Ivan Reitman was involved in this, so like, I think that's kind of how it came together. Also, Michael J. Fox was originally going to do the Wayne Knight role, which I think would have worked
really well
as well. But, you know, Wayne Knight. It's Wayne Knight. Whatever, man. Whatever. Anyways, the story about this, what is it? I mean, everyone knows, but what?
Well, I didn't know until like some hours ago. Well, I mean, vaguely.
Were you expecting them to jump into the cyberverse like in the new movie and they're going through the Matrix or whatever?
I expect that of every movie.
Sure. Hackers was a high point for you, was it?
It's all been downhill from there.
Not wrong. Yeah.
Green Book, is that how you get into the cyberverse? How dare this movie win an Oscar?
Yes. So
there's a cartoon crime boss kind of guy, like a sports magnate, and he wants to get the Looney Tunes into his like his
moon park or
his moon
space
park,
mountain moon park.
Moon park, because he sees how chaotic they are, and he's like, and he sends these little creatures to Earth to capture them. But then it turns out that they have to leave him alone if they win a competition.
Yes.
And so they pick basketball.
They pick a Space Jam of all things.
Pick a Space Jam. Yeah.
And then as a result of that, them wanting to win the basketball, they use a magic basketball to steal powers from people who know about basketball.
That's right.
Well, they did, but then their powers of basketball
are
stolen.
So basketball historians.
Yes, in a way, yes. Basketball eggheads, you know what I mean? I kind of thought it was kind of quaint that they thought it was like an NBA pandemic and they shut everything down. I'm like, oh, that's fun, isn't it? But that subplot I enjoy of those five NBA players just kind of... their life is ruined, and they're just walking around being embarrassed all the time.
Just having a constant existential crisis behind the scene. Like on one side of the movie, you got people like, you know, putting dynamite on the basketball hoop or whatever, and crazy wacky adventures in there. And then you just go back to Earth, and it's just five men being like, "What do I do now? My life is over."
It's got also my favorite line. It's got some great NBA acting all around in this.
Oh yes,
where Charles Barkley is in a psychiatrist's office, and he goes, "It wasn't a dream. It really happened." I'm like, great stuff, Charles Barkley. Talks about Madonna because he was banging Madonna around the time or whatever.
Did he talk about Godzilla?
He didn't talk about Godzilla.
That's wild.
Yeah.
If I'd beaten, you know, Godzilla one-on-one on the court, I would...
I'd tell everyone,
yeah. Hey, Madonna, guess what?
Yeah. What I think is also hilarious about this is So it ends with kind of Michael Jordan coming out of retirement as he did in real life.
Uh-huh.
And then he goes to those NBA players and he goes, I know you guys are no good now, but guess what? I got a magic basketball. And they're like, whoa, how'd you do that? Or whatever. They went like, you did this. I know you did this.
Sure.
You took it from me.
And they beat him up.
And they beat him up.
Because he's good at basketball, not karate.
That's exactly right, yeah. Wow. So I thought that was hilarious. And off the back of that, this is a fun fact. The stars, the five stars who had their talent stolen, none of them ever won an NBA championship, largely due to Michael Jordan winning six championships with the Bulls. So in a way, he did suck the talent right out of them.
That's
like
true.
Any of those guys on their own, if Michael Jordan didn't exist, would have been, you know, the biggest players, and they were, you know, at the
really
time.
Really make you think.
Make you think, doesn't it?
And I'm sure that's the way, you know, they frame it, but also I think, you know how superstitious basketball players are? I mean, obviously Michael Jordan wore
shorts.
his college shorts under his Bulls shorts, you know, his entire career.
Mm.
I reckon at least a few of those guys are like, I think being in Space Jam stole my basketball powers for real. I think that really happened. I never should have done it. I'm full of regrets.
Yeah, you might be right, yeah.
They were in a real psychiatrist's office talking about the psychiatrist scene in the movie that they were in.
Yeah, that's right. It wasn't a dream. It really happened.
I really was banging Madonna. I swear to God. And then Godzilla was there.
So I think in some ways this is a technical marvel, and in a lot of
ways it's a technical foul.
Yes, well, very good. There's not really any of that in this. But in also other ways, it's...
There's constant fouling in this movie.
No one's calling nothing, is what I'm saying.
True, yeah.
So it also feels like behind the times in terms of what they did with, like, Roger Rabbit, for example.
Mm. Because Roger Rabbit sort of seamlessly integrated the characters into the real world.
Yeah.
But this is very obviously Bill Murray in a green room.
Yes.
And they just animate around
There's
him.
Often like a really soft edge around Michael Jordan as he's getting all these baskets happening. He's like, look at all, how many am I doing now, do you reckon? What? He does a lot, doesn't he? Yeah, but I feel like there's some moments where there's interactions between humans and cartoons, which, you know, looks pretty solid. But as I said, not all of the time. And to Michael Jordan's credit, he is not an actor, but he's making a go of it, isn't he, really?
You know what? He's not, but he's also, at one point, the greatest basketball player of all time and one of the richest men in the world. So get over it, Michael Jordan, honestly.
Do you think he's not over it?
I think maybe he's not over it.
Might not be over
it. He takes a lot of things personally. I don't know if you're aware of that.
He certainly does, yeah. Yeah. Actually, I listened to an interview on Ferris Wheelhouse, the YouTube channel, where they got David Spafford on.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
And he worked on Who Framed Roger Rabbit, like pioneered a lot of those amazing techniques in that movie. And going back, looking at that, it's a movie from the 80s, and it's just phenomenal. It's crazy.
Agreed.
But Joe Piecker, I'm not sure how to pronounce that, the director, apparently he didn't know what he was doing.
Okay.
This is what Dave says,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah.
Where they just filmed a bunch of green screen stuff, where it's a green screen room, Michael Jordan is playing basketball against five green screen dudes, and then they took it to him and were like, can you, you know, we need you to fix this, like animate this. And he's like, I can't. Like, this is... You've
given me literally nothing here.
There's a scene that he talks about specifically where a guy in a green screen suit goes across Michael Jordan. Mm-hmm. And they're like, so that's going to be when Tweety Bird goes past Michael Jordan. He's like, well, like, it can't be Tweety Bird because he's tiny. And you've blocked...
You should have thrown a tennis ball.
Yeah, and you blocked him with a green screen man. And they're like, no, you removed the green screen man. And he's like, no, because... And so they didn't hire him and then went back months later and went... We fired the director and can you please fix this? And he's like, I hate this. And yeah, but you're going to have to give me a lot of money and I don't really want to talk about it. And they're like, fine, whatever.
Okay, well.
So, yeah. Should we talk about the game itself, though?
The game of basketball. Well, the game of kings.
This particular game.
Okay, sure.
So I like how Marvin the Martian is the ref, I think, so he would be the middle.
He's half and half. Whatever. He's a toon and an alien.
I mean, they're all toons, but yeah, in a way, yes. Mm. I like how, I guess, there is tension in the game. You know what I mean?
I didn't like how there were no rules. I'm all about rules. You can just shoot a man's teeth out, can you?
People could have guns, Bugs Bunny's on a moped. They're just doing Pulp Fiction, aren't they?
They sure are.
Yeah. Also, but then there's moments where it's like, you need an extra player because you lost one of your players. You can play basketball with four. You can play with three. And why is that the rule all of a sudden? Why is anybody hung up on any of this?
Where are all the other toons?
Don't know.
There's got to be more toons.
Also, Michael
Jordan. Get some of those cancelled cartoons that you can't show anymore.
See them in the background.
Warner Brothers probably got a few of those. Bring them in.
Exactly. But there's even a moment, which, speaking of no rules, Michael Jordan travels before he makes that dunk at the end.
Whoa.
You see him, he catches the ball, he bounces it, he holds it, and then starts dribbling again, which you cannot do. So technically, didn't win. But also technically, it's a movie. So
yeah.
And they've got guns. So
that's just right.
Whatever, I guess. Here's some observations I have also before we do trivia.
Okay, great.
So
this isn't trivia. This is
now. Then I'm going to do trivia. Okay, these are two different sections.
Okay.
This is called Observations, Mason. I couldn't think of a name. It's just called Observations.
Okay.
It's in small text. It's in Arial. No, it's Times New Roman. Change
wow.
that, Ben.
Okay,
yeah.
Wow.
Okay. The Looney Tunes live in the center of the earth.
Didn't pick that. Wouldn't have picked that,
yep.
Honestly.
There's a
they're in hell?
I guess.
Wow.
There's a moment.
I kind of would have picked that, actually.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Do you think they're the souls of the damned and that's why they have to
shoot each other all the time and run about?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah. Sylvester takes like a really ragged like blast to the chest that like cuts him open. You remember that?
Is that where he's got a big hole in
him? Doesn't kill him.
Yeah.
Amazing. He's in hell. They're all in hell.
Well, speaking of, because there's a moment where Michael Jordan's kids are watching an old Looney Tunes cartoon, and then Daffy Duck or someone runs in and goes, "We've got a meeting because there's going to be a basketball game," and then they leave, which makes me think, like, are the Looney Tunes performing these live, like, every time?
Yeah, because
like
they're in hell.
Like a play? That's what I mean! Mm-hmm. It's hell!
Yeah.
Michael Jordan apparently has a paperclip stuck in his ear. You look into his ear and there's just a Ren and Stimpy-style up-close gross shot and he's just got a paperclip. Maybe that's a secret to his powers.
How long do you think that's been in there?
Forever.
Wow.
Since he was a kid.
Do you think
it's his lucky paperclip.
Do you think that's because that's prodded a part of his brain that makes him good at basketball, or do you think the paperclip itself is enchanted with basketball powers? Could you put that in anybody's ear and they get Michael Jordan's powers?
Like the movie Like Mike, but it's a paperclip that you jam in a kid's ear?
Yeah, right into their brain.
Wow. Maybe it's Clippy.
Maybe it is Clippy.
It was the 90s.
Hey, do you want to be the best in the world at basketball? Follow these tips.
And I've just written here, I don't have an opinion on Lola Bunny. I know a lot of people have very strong opinions and also in relation to the new movie. Why is that your favorite character? What do you care?
Sure, right? Exactly.
Yeah. Anyways, you love Lola Bunny is what I'm saying also.
You're saying that while you're looking into a mirror though, so that's weird.
No, that's a magnifying glass. It's actually enhancing you. But let's do some trivia.
Okay.
It's just called trivia. No more antics. There's too many antics in this movie already.
Oh, okay, and you're sick of antics.
Sick of antics.
What font is this?
This is going to be a...
Helvetica?
A good common sense font.
Yeah, Helvetica.
Maybe an Impact, whatever.
No, that's too silly.
Yeah, you're right.
Ben, make it Comic Sans, you'll never know. He hasn't watched this back.
The Space Jam website. We have to mention it. They only recently updated it. It was one of those weird kind of...
HTML, yeah. Web 1.0 websites, yeah.
Just they kept kind of... It was just there. You can still get to it, apparently, but...
Make it an app, that's what I say.
Yeah, exactly.
It's filled with microtransactions. You want to click on one of those planets? $1.99. That's what it's going to cost you.
So, apparently, Chuck Jones also took exception with some of the film's dialogue, feeling that some of the one-liners were inconsistent or inappropriate relating to the characters who said them, so some more sick burns there. Also, here's a bit of Disney Warner Brothers beef.
Oh, hello.
If you're wondering kind of what happened to that Roger Rabbit sequel, which they were supposed to make.
Because that featured both Warner Brothers and Disney characters, which would have been a logistical and legal nightmare.
It absolutely was. So Disney Studios asked Warner Brothers if they could use some of the Looney Tunes characters for the Disney film Who Framed Roger Rabbit in 1988. And Warner Brothers obliged and were in the belief that this was a reciprocal gentleman's agreement, which meant that... they could then use some of the Disney characters in a project of their choosing.
Interesting.
But because that was old Disney management, Warner Brothers then started to work on this film and they asked and they said no. So they wanted Mickey Mouse to be the ref.
Ah, okay.
Because
right.
he doesn't care if they get chained up and taken to the moon.
That's true.
Yeah, or back to hell, whatever. That's fine. So, yeah, they reneged on the agreement with Warner Brothers.
Classic
so
Mouse.
Classic Mouse. I think it was it Michael Eisner at the time, was it? The guy who made Quibi was head of Disney.
Tom
maybe
Quibi.
Then? I don't know.
Another classic Michael Eisner decision.
Yeah, probably a good one, though, to be fair.
Yeah.
Yeah. So do you want to hear about the sequel? And not the sequel they were going to make, which was a Space Jam 2 again with Michael Jordan, because he was like, never again. Never a goddamn get in my life. This is called Skate Jam.
Oh, they're doing it Air Bud style. The tunes would be doing different things.
Well, this was a Tony Hawk-centered
yes.
sequel. So the idea was that they brought him in, and they were like, we love you, Tony Hawk. And he's like, thanks. And then they said...
are you Tony Hawk, by the way? Just to be clear. Are you Tony Hawk?
Yeah.
Are you really? I'm really Tony Hawk,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah. Okay, fine. But so then they pitched him hard on this idea of Skate Jam, whatever it was called, Skate Park Jam, Skate Man. He's a man. So
Skate or Die Jam.
Yes.
Skate or Go to Hell Jam.
So they had like storyboards and artwork, and there was a bunch of studio executives there being like throwing him ideas, and they had a guy doing voices. So they'd mapped it all out.
Uh-huh.
They said, we're going to give you $1 million up front. And Tony Hawk's like, I love the Looney Tunes, and I am Tony Hawk. Stop asking me that. I am.
Uh-huh.
I know I just look like anybody, but I am Tony Hawk. And he was extremely keen, right? He's like, I would have done this for free. He talked about this in a recent Instagram story.
And then they said, all you have to do, Tony Hawk, is lift up your pant legs and show us your pristine knees and
they need to be camera ready.
That's right. You need to have just perfect shins, Tony Hawk.
That is not something we can fix in post.
Non-negotiable.
So, no, what actually happened was Looney Tunes Back in Action in 2003 was acting as a reintroduction of those characters.
Uh-huh.
They also had Brendan Fraser, and he'd obviously hot off the back of the Mummy movies and Bedazzled. And other movies.
Gods and Monsters with Ian McKellen.
Exactly. That movie, which is apparently very good, but I've never seen it. Is that correct?
Correct. You have not seen it.
But then the movie came out. It didn't do well. It made well under what it cost. Tanked. The whole thing was over. He never got a call back. Like, that was it.
Wow, okay.
And
sure.
It was over.
Huh.
Skate Jam. Skate or jam. What do you choose? Skateboarding or a jar of jam? I choose jam. What do you choose? It's a fresh jam. It's not one of those fake conserve kind
of
jams.
Can I choose ore?
Like ore as in the mineral?
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
Do I say mineral weird? Mineral, sorry.
Mm.
Yeah, you can have that.
Yeah.
How much is it though? I mean, enough.
Yeah, to buy a jar of jam.
Yeah, great. Anyways, this has been Space Jam, first Space Jam. We're not going to do Back in Action. We just don't want to. Do you have any disagreements about that?
Well, I've never seen it, so I don't know. I mean, yeah. I like Brendan Fraser.
So do I.
And I like the idea of Tony Hawk being screwed out of $1 million. But I actually don't. He seems like a very nice man.
Look, if they make a Space Jam 3, maybe we'll come back to it. But there's something else we want to look at next week, isn't there, Mason?
Oh, yes.
Something we also might cover the sequel for. Here's a hint. Speaking of cartoons in the 90s, am I right?
I can't remember what you're talking about.
We're doing the Mask movie.
Oh, yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah.
So there you go.
Somebody stop us.
You can't.
No, it's true.
Ben could stop us because he edits them. He could just go, I didn't do it.
Yeah.
And then we'd be like, oh, man.
Power move. Impressive.
But anyways, this has been Caravan of Garbage. We do this every week. If you do have any suggestions, bloody line them up in the comments, mate. What do you think of Space Jam? Do you think it holds up? Obviously not, but what do you think of it?
Do you have a different wrong opinion that you think it does hold up? Let us know in the comments.
It's not without things going on.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's always a thing
it's
happening.
It's not without Bill Murray's going on.
Yeah.
You know?
I feel like this could have been a better movie if it was just Bill Murray. They recruited Bill Murray. Don't you think?
Yeah.
I would love that.
They could have just said, Bill Murray, sit in this green screen room and just talk to yourself for 90 minutes.
Can I smoke cigarettes? Sure.
It's the 90s, I guess so.
We want
I
to
can't
see
remember what the rules are in this era that we're currently in.
But we want to see those pins, Bill Murray.
That's right.
Yeah. Anyways, thanks for watching. I'm at Mr. Sunday Movies on Twitter.
I'm at Wikipedia Brown on Twitter.
If you do want to see these early, go to bigsandwich.co. There's a bunch of other stuff, including movie commentaries, bonus podcasts, and an early edition of our podcast, The Weekly Planet, which comes out on Monday, but Sunday for this.
Mm.
We'll probably cover Space Jam 2 when it comes out, won't we?
Yeah. Look, I mean, there's going to be so many references.
Yeah.
We're going to see all... Is Batman going to be in there? Which Batman? All the Batmans?
I could just one Batman.
Yeah.
Which
of the Droogs? All the Droogs, they're in there.
What's the Droogs?
The guys from A Clockwork Orange.
Oh, the Droogs are in it.
Their Droogs are in it.
Where my Droogs at? I'd say everyone.
You shouldn't have Droogs.
if you got them, get rid of them.
Yeah, maybe.
Put them out on the street. Let the hard rubbish come collect them.
Give your Droogs 2 weeks notice.
Goodbye.
Grab that jam, you guys. We'll see you next week.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.